Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
FM 104's Select Irish with Louise Tighe.
Select Irish on FM 104 and here to talk about his new book, What Ireland Can Teach the World About Music, is Tóner Quinn. Hello.
Hello, Louise. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for chatting to me. So tell me, why has music changed over the last 24 years?
Wow, how has Irish music changed over the past 24 years? Well, that is the subject of the book, I suppose. I've been writing about Irish music for a couple of decades and things have changed. I mean, I suppose my own area that I'm in, I'm a fiddle player, and in the area of traditional music has really opened up. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been a lot of sort of change in the music. I mean, it was always very popular, but it really has opened up to new audiences now and a new generation of sort of discovered traditional and folk music again. And that's because people are doing new things with this. You know, it's kind of, there's been kind of a thaw around Irish traditional music. It's opened up. There's people from contemporary music, people, composers, jazz musicians, rock musicians getting more into it. And traditional musicians are reaching out to them much more. So that's one of the big changes in Irish music. I mean, there's lots of other things that have happened. I mean, in the book, there's over 50 articles there that are covering everything from, you know, traditional music to classical to contemporary to political issues to the pandemic. The pandemic was a big change in music in Ireland, but so too was the economic crash 14 years ago. You know, these sort of macro issues, they really affect music. They really have a big impact, and you can hear that in the music. That's what's interesting about it. You know, there was, out of the pandemic came a lot of sort of, you know, quiet, contemplative sort of drone music, and out of the crash, you know, 14 years ago, the economic crash, came a lot of angry music.
Yeah.
And that's how society affects music. You can hear it. If you listen hard enough, you can hear it.
And one area that was mentioned in the book was the workings of the music ecosystems. For a very long time, that was quiet. We didn't really know much about it. And then the internet came into things and it seems to be a bit more open.
Well, this is a technological revolution that has opened up music. But in that essay, which is A Future for Irish Music, I think I'm talking about the fact that the internet has made us much more aware of what's happening around us. Mm-hmm. Once upon a time, we would go to listings, you know, maybe in a newspaper or a magazine to find out what music was happening. And it was always on stage gigs. But with the internet, we sort of realized that musical life is so much more diverse than that. There's all sort of spontaneous, sort of informal community music events happening all the time that you can participate in. And it's all around us all the time. And it's kind of made us realize, I actually think music has actually become more important to us because technology means that, and we always could in a way, but it's such a part of our life now, you know, because our phones are with us all the time. We can literally have music with us all the time, plugged in, listening to it. And not just music that we happen to have with us, but the entire history of recorded music is now in our pockets in a streaming service. So I think it's become even more important to us. It's there all day with us. You know, it affects our mood. So that's what I meant by the technology has really affected the ecosystem. It's made us aware. It's kind of driven demand as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are more festivals than ever. I find, you know, as a magazine editor, I find it, you know, it's almost impossible to keep up with the amount of events happening. And there are festivals happening almost every weekend. It's incredible. So technology has, it's made us aware, but it's also opened up the art forms.
And I think it's also maybe given us more artists and more music, and maybe not even genres, but just people having fun and being creative with music as well, because they can be, it's all accessible to them.
They can be inspired, and they can practice. at home, and they can use YouTube to perfect what they're doing. They can, they don't have to go to lessons. They can just go online and learn whatever they want to learn, and they can practice away, and then they can record their music at home and send it out into the world. And that is new. And, you know, I always thought it was amazing that whenever you watch any of these talent shows, and whenever the talent is quizzed about how did you learn all this, they go online. I learned it online, just practicing away at home. And so that's something else that has really changed. And it is people expressing themselves. That's what's happening. That's what music is. It is people expressing themselves. And you don't have to be a professional musician. You don't have to be on stage to do that. And that's one of the things that I kind of write about in the book all the time. I say that in the introduction, like all the time I'm just writing, I'm just trying to understand the role that this extraordinary stuff music plays in our life. Because I really think it does play a really, really big role in our life. It affects us in so many ways. It's how we express ourselves. It's how we connect with other people. It's how we find our tribe, our gang, our friends. You know, it accompanies us every which way. And I write mainly about Irish music, but that's the kind of question that's underneath all of us, really. Mm. What role is it playing in our lives?
And how does Irish music compare to the rest of the world? Because obviously we're world famous, our music. Like, we really do hold a special place in our hearts and for the rest of the world with music, don't we?
Well, Irish music, you know, it's extraordinary. It has become known around the world as a fiddle player. I've played around the world and it does have a reputation. And the Irish have a reputation for great song, great music, great bands, great creativity, and Irish traditional music in particular. And why is that? You know, that's kind of a mystery in a way. That's something I've thought about a lot. I see some of the elements of traditional music spill out into other art forms, this sort of spontaneity that we have in traditional music. But why is it like that? I mean, I think it's to do with our history. It's to do with our history. We had a rich musical tradition before colonization. We had the Travelling Harpers. It was a very sophisticated tradition, and it kind of went underground during colonization. And it obviously, you know, there's a theory that it kind of moved into the sort of wider public, this musical life. And so, you know, it's kind of re-emerged again. This is one theory that has kind of re-emerged in the 20th century again, you know, with, as we found, independence, and kind of flowered again. But why is it so popular? Why is it so different? It's because of our history. We were displaced people. You know, it's music was how we expressed ourselves. It's how we protested. Mm-hmm. And you can still see that happening today. So it's really become a big part of our identity. We're not unique in the world in our music, our spontaneity. But it's definitely become a strong part of our identity.
Yeah, we definitely make an impact with it, I think.
Yeah, we do. We do. And it's something that we should be proud of, and something we should really try and understand. That's something else in the argument I'm making in the book, that we have to try and understand this stuff. Like, it's a social glue. It has economic benefits, social benefits, international benefits. It has benefited us in so many ways. And yet we don't really talk about this, and we don't really think about it that way, and really, really try and understand it, about how this music shapes our society and helps us. Because I think if we did understand that, then other countries would probably, you know, they would probably copy us and do the same thing, you
probably.
Know, if we could understand it more. But we're only at the beginning of understanding it still.
You're also commissioned by the Art Council to research the Irish harp. Where does that sit within our music world?
Oh, the harp is beautiful. Like, the harp tradition is 1,000 years old in this country. It's 1,000. Like, we talk about traditional and folk music, that's relatively new. That's just a few hundred years old. The harp tradition is really underneath it all. And once again, through colonization, that kind of fell apart in the 1700s. And it was overtaken by the Uilleann pipes as the national instrument. But then in the 20th century, and literally in the last, you know, couple of decades, it has reemerged again. And there's a whole new generation of young harpers, and they're reinterpreting the tradition. And it's probably stronger than it ever has been. So that's an extraordinary story. But that was through voluntary effort. That didn't just happen by accident. Yeah. You know, a small society got together in the 60s, Cards in the Quitte, and they just began to build up, you know, interest in the harp again and save the tradition and bring stuff back into print. And now it's re-emerged. But so now we have all the new traditions that are developing, but we also have this old tradition that has come back to life again. So that's a, like, we're really fortunate. I mean, that's really rich. You know, that's one of the great things about Irish music. We've managed to hold on to all these traditions and bring them back.
And it's so important. I remember a harpist coming into my music class in school. And as soon as they left, I was like, I want to learn that instrument. Like, it's just such a beautiful one that, like, we wouldn't necessarily see unless it's shown to us when we're younger. So it's absolutely beautiful.
Oh, I wonder who that harper was, because that's a pure example of how the harping community managed to find a new audience again. I mean, once upon a time, you know, the Irish harp was not cool at all. Mm. And, you know, it was kind of marginalized in traditional music. Now, Sean O'Ria that did change that, you know, he brought Carolyn's music back and made it popular. And that really had a big impact. But it really is a big effort by the harping community that has sort of built that audience again. So that's really interesting that they actually made it into your school.
I know, right?
And you remember that. Yeah. That's really good.
Yeah, it really stuck with me for sure.
But that's really interesting.
Yeah, it really is. I wish I knew who they were, but I have no idea. And I'd have no way to find out. I would love to know, though, because there is so much part of that that kind of made that interest in me as well, that I've always loved the harp ever since then. And just watching them play it, it's magnificent. It really is. But putting the book together, how was that? Because you've so many articles in it. I'm sure there was many that didn't make it into the book.
Oh yeah, there's a lot that, I mean, I've been writing for 20 odd years about Irish music, and then people had often said to me, you know, you really should put together a collection. And so I began working on it about a year ago, and I just read everything and particularly picked out the pieces that I felt were still relevant, but also I really wanted to put it together for sort of the upcoming generation so that they could see what has happened over the past 25 years. You know, sometimes it must be difficult, I find anyway. It certainly was when I was in my 20s and sort of arriving into the Irish music scene, and so confusing, so many things going on, tried to understand it. And I wanted to put a book together that actually the next generation would be able to look at and go, oh, so this is the scene, this is how it has developed. And a lot of the issues we're facing today, there's a history to them, and progress has been made. And so I put together the collection. There's about 50 articles and essays. Some are radio essays, some are talks and lectures. Most of them are articles from the Journal of Music. And I enjoyed it, I have to say. And I'm already working on the next one. So there you go. That's how much I enjoyed
it. Excellent. So the book is What Ireland Can Teach the World About Music, Tonagh Quinn. Where can they, or where can people find it?
It's available from the Journal of Music website, journalofmusic.com, but also in bookshops like Hodges Figgis in Dublin and Charlie Burns in Galway and various other independent stores around the country.
Excellent. Tonagh Quinn, thank you so much for chatting to us.
Thank you very much, Louise.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.